Our gospel lesson today comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, verses 49 through 56. Listen now to the word of our Lord. I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two, two against three. They will be divided, father against son, son against father, mother against daughter, daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, it is going to rain, and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be scorching heat, and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? This is the word of our Lord. Let us pray. In the words of my lips and the meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Excuse me. There was this Baptist pastor. He was fresh out of seminary. He was assigned to this small church in the hills of Kentucky. In his first sermon, he condemned gambling, especially betting on the horses. Well, the sermon was not well received. You see, Reverend, a parishioner said to him, this whole area is known for its fine horses. Lots of our members make their living breeding race horses. Next Sunday, the pastor spoke on the evils of smoking. Again, his sermon was not well received because many of the members also grew tobacco. Third week, pastor preached on the evils of drinking, only to discover after that a major distillery was one of the town's largest employers. Well, chastised, of course, for his choice of sermon topics, he's kind of frustrated, and he thought, well, what then can I preach about? Kindly little old woman spoke up and said, pastor, preach about those godless Chinese communists. Why, there isn't a Chinese communist within 4,000 miles of here. You can laugh. You see, there are some sermons people do not want to hear because they contradict their dearly held values or their comfortable lifestyles. Jesus earned a reputation for preaching these kinds of sermons, sermons that were challenging, demanding, radical, and divisive. I think in our gospel lesson for today, we have just such a sermon, one that challenges our commitment to Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I came to bring division. I came to bring division. The important question then for us is, where are we in this division? How does this gospel apply to us? Well, I think it applies in at least about three things anyways. Well, first, since we are here in worship, of course, we assume that we are those who love and serve Jesus. That's what we hope, but we need to examine our attitudes to see how true that really is. Are we being faithful in our witness to him? Or is it our sometimes polite silence, a facade maybe for neutrality? Is our occasional church attendance only there to pacify our social conformity? Is our anemic stewardship only a salve for our uncommitted life? Well, there was a wife and her small son. They visited a church. So their pastor then visited their home one evening. Well, only the husband, whom the pastor had not met yet, was at home. And they talked about church, and he said he guessed he was a member somewhere back home, but he just wasn't sure. And He added, my wife is the churchgoer in the family. Well, and then the pastor, as kindly as he could, asked him, as far as Christianity is concerned, whose side are you on? Guy just kind of laughed and said, I guess I'm not on anybody's side, as you put it. But you see, he was. Not to decide is to decide. Teenage girl is at summer camp. She's torn between two sets of friends. Some of them are sunbathing on the dock and saying to her, stay with us. But her other friends were in a rowboat saying, no, come with us. And there she stood, one foot on the dock and one foot on the edge of the boat, and the boat was moving. Well, trying to appease everyone, trying to not decide, she ends up falling in the water, and worse yet, she got her hair wet. But I think this is exactly what Jesus is addressing in the gospel lesson today. He is warning us that there will be times when following him will require us to turn away from something else. There will be times in this life that we will be required to say yes to one thing and therefore no to the other. And of course, the action we most often take is the same one that girl did on the swimming dock. We try to go in both directions. We try to say yes to it all, and we end up falling in between the seams and being just miserable. Second thing, I think, we cannot force the Christian life on others, can we? But if we are true to our witness for Jesus, we can do our best to exhibit it and make it attractive to others. Our witness is not to condemn, but to invite, to tell in words and show in deeds what Jesus means to us, to tell and show with kindly conviction the strengthening power of prayer and Bible study, worship, and then let the Holy Spirit use it within us. Man came to church, asked for instruction as to how to become a member. He said, a friend of mine has a joint strength in his life that I sorely need in mine. He says he gets it here. I need the Lord that he has. Are people attracted to Christ by what they see in us and hear from us? Third, if we are true to our witness for Jesus, there will be opposition just as there was to Jesus. We can expect it. No one, of course, is asking for our crucifixion, but there are those who will call us maybe goody-two-shoes or ridicule our Christian faith. Our daily life should show who we are and who we follow. A kind of jokingly contemptuous man once said to a pastor, I use the same words on the golf course that you do in church, except in a different setting. Well, it was more than a different setting, of course. A different attitude, different way of life, a different side of the division which Jesus described. That exclamation, Jesus Christ, can be either a devotion or epithet. But it can't be both. Neutrality toward Jesus is impossible. Although, of course, we do try, don't we? Jesus said, do you think I have come to bring peace to this earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. Excuse me. When Abraham Lincoln was first introduced to Harriet Beecher Stowe, who wrote, of course, Uncle Tom's Cabin, he said, so this is the little lady who started the Civil War. However true that incident may be, she wrote not to bring peace, but division, and people had to decide where they stood. I read this poem one time. There was a knight of Bethlehem whose wealth was tears and sorrows. His men at arms were little lambs, his trumpeters were sparrows. On which he hung so, his castle was a wooden cross on which he hung so high. His helmet was a crown of thorns whose crest did touch the sky. Author unknown. This is the man that divides families, communities, even nations. The division that he brought extends from his day to our day. And each person must decide which side he or she is on. There is no neutrality. There was a sociology professor every year began his course on the family, it was called, by reading to his class this letter from a parent written to a government official. In the letter, the parent complains that his son, once obedient and well-motivated, has become involved with some weird religious cult. And the father complains that the cult has taken over the boy's life, has forced him to forsake all of his old friends, and has turned him against his family. Well, after reading the letter, then the professor asks the class to speculate what the father is really talking about, and almost without exception, the class immediately assumes that the subject of the letter is a child mixed up like with the Moonies or some other controversial group. Well, after the class goes through all the possible conclusions they can think of, the professor surprises them by revealing that this letter was written by a third century father in Rome, who was the governor of his province, complaining about this new weird religious group called the Christians. But you know what? We have to thank God for those free thinkers throughout Christendom who have brought fire upon this earth. Martin Luther, who called the church back to a gospel which emphasized grace rather than works. John Wycliffe, William Tyndale, who against the wishes of church leadership produced a Bible in the language of the people. William Wilberforce, against the will of many within the church, fought the evil ravages of the institution of slavery. Hudson Taylor, who dared to adopt the customs and culture of the people to whom he was a missionary. He converted people to Jesus, not to Western culture. He changed the focus of foreign mission work. These men were troublemakers, thinkers, apple cart shakers, men who muddied the water, just like Jesus did. Heroes of the faith, we might actually call them, because they were not afraid of division. They knew Jesus did not come to bring peace, but a sword. In other words, truth. God's truth is like that. It's kind of a double-edged sword, you might say. What sounds like peace, the peace that Christ gives, really isn't the peace that the world would have. It's the peace of God as God would have it. And what kind of peace is it that God really wants? God wants a peace that exists between us and him when the weight of our sins no longer are a snare, and you can run that race with endurance, which is set before you. I'm sure many of us have taken trips riding in the car, and many times on those trips we've reached this fork in the road, and when we come to that fork, we have to decide which way to go. My sense is that the Christian life is like that. Every day we are called to make choices, decisions as to which way we will actually go that day. Sometimes those decisions are costly in terms of money or family or friendships. If our destination is important to us, we make the correct choice. Not every time, perhaps, but often enough. So it comes right down to that personal question. In that division over Jesus, which side are we on? How does our witness, our way of life, our stewardship of time and talent answer that question? At the close of life, the question will not be, how much have you gotten, but how much have you given? Not how much have you won, but how much have you actually done? Not how much have you saved, but how much have you actually sacrificed? It will be how much have you loved and served, not how much were you honored. Decisions. Decisions. I pray that God will give us the wisdom and the courage to make those correct choices each and every day of our lives. Amen.